Welcome back, 1570 AM, Baltimore Positive. My next guest is Nestor Aparicio. Always fun to have you on, Ness. Welcome in.
Hey, man. It's fun to be here in the middle of summer. The All-Star game's over. The Orioles are home. It's relevant. The Dodgers are coming. This kid's hitting 400. You know, I watched the All-Star game the other night. And, you know, it's the middle of summer. When I think of the All-Star game, I went to 17 All-Star games.
Good
So,
for
I,
you.
you know, I had to
That's
add it
awesome.
up. You know, before it was, because I was still going recently. I went to Washington a couple years ago. My wife had never been to an All-Star game. And when she got cancer back in 14 and 15, the summer of 15, we did the tour. And the tour was supposed to end at the All-Star game in Cincinnati, but we had already been to Cincinnati on the tour. And we like literally, we were just tired. It was 30 days. It ended on that Sunday. And we were supposed to go from Cleveland to Columbus to Cincinnati for the All-Star game. And we bailed on it. And I said, look, I'll take you next year to San Diego. And then she got cancer again. So we didn't go to San Diego the following year, and we didn't go to a couple of them. And then I was coming to Washington. I'm like, hey, I'll make sure you get to Washington. She wound up going with her friend Michelle Bresnik, while she was also a bone marrow transplant survivor, who was her coach from There Goes My Hero. But she loves baseball. Michelle does too. So, you know, the All-Star game thing, when the stand up to cancer part, we had the signs in Washington. So I put that up. But I have so many All-Star game memories. But today, the day of your show, Thursday, July 13th, not only Live Aid Day, which I didn't realize everybody's sharing Live Aid stuff because Live, and I went to that in 1985, but it's the 30th anniversary today of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Baltimore. And I don't know, man, that's like a watershed moment, right? Like, I don't know how many moments we've had in adulthood with baseball. Everybody, Delmon Young, Cal Ripken, 21-31. Right. 21-31 was 1995, right? I mean, so these moments that you would want to have with baseball that we hope we're going to have this summer, right? Like, that's what we're all hanging on to, that Urias is going to get the big home run in the eighth inning to beat to take us to the World, whatever it's going to be. I mean, it's always going to be some Tito Landrum, you know, Rick Dempsey. That's the star of all of it, right? But I love baseball, and my last name's Aparicio, and things like the All-Star game. And this weekend I had, don't tell Robbie Sr., but I cheated on him. I had Robbie Jr. on the show this week.
Robbie Jr. is very good. In fact, they just did a segment with Fox News, Fox Business, and they were invited right back. I mean, both of them are very well-spoken, very intelligent, and very knowledgeable about all things, particularly sports.
Have you known Robbie Jr. since he was born? Or, I mean, I've known Robbie for a long time.
A long time, yes, absolutely, yes. Yeah, that's great, great people. Absolutely.
Well, so I had Robbie on this week, Robbie Jr. on.
Robbie
because
Jr., he's a lot of fun.
Well, the reason I had him on was because they're doing the Babe Ruth Museum this weekend. They're doing the card show down there, Al Bunbury, like all of this stuff. I did that event last year. I went down there. Mike Bordick was there last year, and I got to sort of reconnect with him, because one of the things about having my press pass taken away from, I don't have access to the people anymore. I don't know Adam Jones. He knows me, but I don't know him. So, because I didn't have access in that era. So spending time with people around sports, around baseball, around cards, around collectibles, around history, I love that stuff, you know? So sitting here talking about old baseball cards and talking about the All-Star game. So the 93 All-Star game, where were you? Did you go? Did you watch? Where were you in your life at that point? Because the Orioles, let's be honest, Dennis, you might have been watching the NFL draft, but you weren't a Ravens fan yet.
No. I was in the weeds. You know, kids were little. I was grinding, working 80, 90 hours a week. So, no, I was not much into baseball even back then. So,
okay,
I had
so
a little.
You didn't go to Fan Fest? You didn't any of that?
None of the above, man. I was selling cars. You know, it was a tough economy at that point. And, I was just humping, selling cars. That was my only focus.
I was
trying to pay my mortgage.
I was a year and a half into a radio career, right? I'd been at the paper, papers, 84 to 86 and 86 to 92. So this is 93. We're broadcasting at that point from the Radisson Lord Baltimore downtown, back on the third floor behind the ballroom. We had suites. We had six rooms that were the worst rooms in the hotel. They overlooked the alley. All you smelled was the T-bone steaks coming off the grill and the cheeseburgers coming off the grill. And we had one set of rooms that was the executive offices, one set of rooms that were the studio, and then one set of rooms that were the production. We had the whole back behind third floor of the Lord Baltimore. And also, I mean, I ran into Trent Reznor in that hotel from Nine Inch Nails. But that particular night, All-Star Game night, I ran into Johnny Bench. I came down the elevator, and there's Johnny Bench in the lobby because it's the All-Star Game. You know, Bob Uecker was there too, just as an aside. But it was one of the five hotels kind of putting people up. There was no Four Seasons, the Harbor Court, but
Sure.
Hyatt was the main hotel. But I picked my credentials up at the Marriott next to the stadium. The Marriott everybody forgets is there. The little Marriott that's right by the Hilton. Like I was there a couple weeks ago, and I walked in there. I'm like, what memories do I have here? And I'm like, I picked up my All-Star Game credential here in 1993. So when I, you know, walk the streets of the city, but that day, that time, that weekend, that fan fest, my son was 9 years old. My son was born in 1984, so it was a big deal to him. I took him to Fan Fest. You know, I had a badge, and like I used to drink beer with Mike Messina before and not before games, but after games. But see him before games and walk the city. I was at the ballpark at 2 o'clock every night. I always tell you the stories about standing by Greg Biagini at the '93 All-Star. The home runs that Griffey was hitting and Gonzalez, those balls were juiced. Those balls were heated. Greg Biagini told me, showed me, gave me all the science behind it. He's like, I sit here at batting practice every day, and Sam Horn tries to hit anything he can. They try to kill the ball to hit the warehouse, and they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't do it. How did five people do it on one day? They heated the balls.
Right.
So all these memories I have, but my mother and wanted to go to the game, so I hooked her up. But my buddies really wanted to go to the game bad. And I didn't have any access to tickets, but I knew players. And there were players in the locker room that were talking like, hey, I have some tickets, whatever. And nobody was trying to scalp anything. And I'm gonna tell you a good guy story. All right. So I covered those teams. I knew those guys. I was on planes, trains, automobiles, hotels, Ben McDonald, Rick Sutcliffe, Brady Anderson, Mike Messina, Cheeto Martinez, David Segee. All those guys are my boys, right? Elrod, always in the clubhouse. A Cal Senior, who I never really knew. I was very intimidated by him. I was very intimidated by Mike Flanagan. I didn't talk to Mike Flanagan until we didn't become friends for a long time after that, actually. And then we became kind of intense friends. Our wives, we did things together in Timonium, but I didn't know Mike Flanagan when he was the pitching coach or the pitcher in 1992. I was scared to death of those guys. I really was. Even as a 10-year reporter, I didn't mess with Cal Senior. Cal was more my age, and I got on with Cal. But so in 93, I'm in the locker room week before the game. My buddies all really wanted to go to the game, and I wanted to be a good friend. I'm on the radio. I've been on the radio a year and a half. Chris Hoyles had a couple of extra tickets. And he said, hey, I'm doing my best Ohio Chris. Hey, I got a couple of tickets. I know you these might want to go to the game. You know, they're not very good seats. I mean, they're on the moon, but you know. So I said, Chris,
I'm apologetic. I got
if
you.
If I get these tickets from my friends, they're going to love me forever. He's like, well, I only have four of them. I'm like, give them to me.
Yeah, so I'll take them.
So Kevin Eck, Swish Morrison, John Raphaelitis, may have given the other one to David Hill. I don't remember, but I wound up giving tickets to my friends, and I said to them, the only rule is this: I get the ticket stub. I just want to have the ticket stub, so I have it. The tickets were in section 388, which is where I told everybody to meet us for Free the Birds. It's where I sat when I went to games with my son. We would go up, and because it reminded me of my dad, you know what I mean? It was like the worst seat in the stadium. And when I took my kid there in 92 and 3, 4, 5, place was full. There was nowhere to sit. So, you know, like, oh, let's go sit up top. Yeah, it's fun
happy
up there.
You had a ticket. Happy to be in there.
You can see the strike zone from there. I would always say I like to sit in the outfield because you can see the strike zone way better than anywhere else in the stadium. Now, my seat behind home plate when I was a media member where Luke sits, you know, second level up right behind home plate. It's a great seat. I mean, it's where you should watch the game if you're a media member, right? But I like the outfield seats. So they sat up on the moon. The free Willy. When the sign went over the edge, I was up there visiting them, and the auxiliary press box was below that. So the auxiliary press box was like in 286, like where they have the bird feed room. It was the club level out in left center field. And that whole weekend was magical, man. I was in the dugout during the home run derby, Dennis, because the cops knew me. I was there, and I had a clubhouse badge, and I just sat at the end of the dugout, and they didn't throw me out. And the thing started. and it wasn't live. It was tape delay. So there's Gonzalez. Mark McGwire sat next to me for 30 minutes during the Derby. Like, literally was just sitting next to me watching Gonzalez hit before he hit. I saw him, like, taping himself up, bats, the whole deal. And if you look in the videos, I'm in the dugout. Ken Griffey with the hat backward, I'm in the first base dugout watching the balls launch. And the place was mobbed. You could see people celebrating up on the warehouse where Boog's Barbecue is when Griffey was hitting the home runs. Like, people were cheering it all. It was just wonderful. You know, like, it's a beautiful memory. And it's not one we talk about much here in regard to Camden Yards. And I mean, the Pope came to Camden Yards, Cal Ripken, Delman Young. And we're waiting for the next thing, right? But that was a special, special thing, the All-Star Game being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I enjoyed this last one. I didn't see the game, but I did watch the Home Run Derby. Really enjoyed Adley Rutschman's performance, and also coupled with his father pitching to him. I thought that was a wonderful moment for those guys and also for Orioles fans alike.
My dad pitched to me, you know, a little bit. You know, my dad was older. My dad was 55 when I was five, right? So, like, I'm 55 now, and I'm thinking, ooh, that would take a lot of energy. And I'm a pretty, you know, I'm pretty sturdy, you know? But I don't know. I don't know that I want to be putting the heat on the wiffle ball, you know?
Right,
but
right.
Especially, see, I'm missing his finger. So, as an amputee, I'm nasty at wiffle ball. Yeah, you don't want to mess with me. But, I mean, as Mark Messina once said to me, I can't throw a party anymore. You know, I got nothing left here.
Oh, I hear you. Can't throw a party. Right.
But,
hey,
you know,
and the one thing about the All-Star game, too, here's a little footnote, and this is in your wheelhouse, is that John Angelos had said that he'd like to have that new lease signed by the All-Star game. It would be a great gift, and I'll put that in quotation marks, right? And here we are, and you're the only person in town still pounding the table and letting people know that lease hasn't been signed yet. That 5-year lease is still out there.
I thought it was kind of amazing that Manfred brought up, you know, Atlanta, Toronto, the places where they're going to try to take an All-Star game, which is always it's always a hostage situation, right? It's like, if you get your act together and you bid enough and you get us, you do all the work. Which, I mean, they can't even do the work of selling their own tickets right now. How could they host the All-Star game? We had 30 people shot in South Baltimore. I mean, like, there's things going on. Like, I'm trying to get the mayor on. I'm at Coco's later this week. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is out. I'm really looking forward to seeing Marcella. I have Senator Corey McRae on this week. We're talking baseball with Dave Shinen, who's been to a lot of All-Star games, and Rasig, my dear friend and one of my favorite people in the world. So, but, you know, this notion that the All-Star game, it's been 30 years. There's 30 teams. It's our time, right?
Right.
We would have had the All-Star game here in 13, 14, 15 if Peter would have relented and fixed the lawsuit with his partners. He's been suing his partners for 18 years over $1 billion. And they're fighting, and they're still fighting. And now the kid's in the middle of it. And the kid lives in Nashville, doesn't have a friend in the world here, doesn't have any advocates. And now apparently he's looking for federal money. To do what? I don't know. I don't know where they're building. I mean, if you're watching this on our YouTube channel or on Facebook or anywhere video, the stadium's behind me. What are they putting where? Peter fought tooth and nail to get the hotel. Couldn't get it. The parking lot's there. It's got a viaduct in the middle of it. Staples is across the street. There's a hospital across the street. Like, I don't know where they're building Wrigleyville in Baltimore. In the federal, the reserve is that this is where the money comes from. Like, I've seen the trucks. It's a highly guarded facility at the foot of 95 that's strategically located with all sorts of tunnels underneath of our city that I saw Barack Obama get snuck into our city one night. You know, like, our city's weird. And that part of our city where, like, the train tracks caught on fire, remember that? Martin O'Malley tells that story. He's in Ocean. He's at the Chris Field Wake and Bake, and there's smoke coming out of tunnels that the governor didn't even know about. He was the mayor of Baltimore for 8 years. Didn't even know it existed.
Right.
So, and they're going to get federal money to do what? And who's the architect of this? John Angelos has never had a popsicle stand, let alone a car dealership or run an AM radio station for 25 years successfully against all tides. He's born on third and hit a triple. And they're going to give him $2 billion of federal money to, like, build a casino? I don't understand it. So this is where I get off as a journalist then and saying, why don't you sit with me and explain it to me? Explain it to me so I can sell your bouja to the people so we can further enrich you. Because that's really what it's about. It's about enriching Steve Bisciotti and Angelos and their families and their legacies. It's really not about building the city up. It really, if it is, come see me. Come see me. Come sit and talk to me. Come tell me how it's going to make the city better. And I'll tell Dennis to tell his customers and his employees and Mr. Coons, and we'll get a dealership downtown and we'll have a Topgolf and we'll have like, great. Let's do what they did in Cincinnati, Atlanta, but give me the plan. Come sell it to me, because you know who did this, Dennis? Edward Bennett Williams, Larry Lucchino. When I have Marty Conway on, when I have Janet Marie Smith on, when I have Charles Steinberg on, when I have Rick Vaughn on, these are the real people that built this thing. And when I have them on, they were like, we were transparent at every step. The first people we went to were the Baltimore Sun and the Washington Post, because we knew that they had the customers that were going to fill our place and create excitement around this thing that we were asking our taxpayers to build. And then 5 years later, Art Modell came in and asked you and me and Mr. Coons for tens of thousands of dollars for the right to purchase seats that I would later be thrown out of by some guy named Chad Steele. I've lived through all of this, so I get to write the book on it. But the next chapter needs to be about the city for both of these franchises that have kind of done very, very well, over the last 30 years. Help us rebuild our city.
Well, here's the thing about the Orioles, Nestor. I mean, they have a very low payroll. I mean, do you just think he's just buying time to sell the team without making any other investments?
Everybody tells me that he has dug in to the partners, to his mother, to his brother, that he's here forever, that John's going to own the team till he dies.
Okay.
And that's what he believes.
Okay.
So that, now, I don't know that. And I, listen, Dennis, I mean, I hate to get flippant on your show, but I'll get flippant on my own show. But like, he came out of the box lying on Martin Luther King Day. He came out of the box intimidating a guy that's now lost his job, right? Dan Connolly has lost his job. And he's, I mean, other than Luke, and I'll put myself in that category and a handful of other baseball people here, the Peter Schmucks of the world, people that have seen it all, that have chased Peter Angelos around, that have been on airplanes, that have paid their own way, hotels, all-star games, World Series, spring trainings. I've dedicated my life to this, and I haven't gotten rich on it, right? But like, there's a point where if he sat with me, I wouldn't believe what he says. He told me he was going to open the books in January. I'm not just a journalist. I'm a citizen. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a fan. I'm a lifelong fan. I'm an Aparicio. I'm a vested business owner. I'm all of that. Don't lie to me. And don't lie to me. And he's already a liar. So, I don't know what else to call it. And he's a coward. He won't come forward. And now, tick tock, tick tock. Oh, but Dennis, whoa, 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 whoa. Marlins are in town.
Right.
Fireworks night.
Right,
the Dodgers
right.
Are here next week. You want to see the Dodgers play, right?
Right, right. Listen,
we're in the middle of the pennant race right now, okay? It's Martin Luther King Day. We're not here to talk about that today.
I'm not going to talk about not having a lease. We're not going to talk about that.
No. We're no questions about that, says Chad Steele. No questions about the quarterback and his contract in front of the head coach and the general manager, the only time we make them available. No questions about the quarterback. I mean, that's what we're running here, Dennis, and they're getting away with it. And they're getting away with it because Jason Lockenfor is signing up to take Angelos' money. So now he's shut up. 105.7 is just trying to stay. Have you seen Odyssey stock lately? No. I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but like, it is what it is. They're trying to stay in business over there without a sports property. And WBAL is neutered.
Right.
So I don't know who, Fox likes to ask all the tough questions, except when they're in the running to get the rights. And the Sinclair family is broke from the RSN implosion that's about to eat the Angelos family and whoever the Lerners sell to. And it's going to be the next problem, probably of Ted Leonsis, because he's going to be the guy that buys it. And I hope you listen to this segment 3 years from now when all my little crystal balls
predictions come true.
I mean, we're going to get an all-star game again because we have a stadium in a city. But that being said, we're already a decade late on that. Yeah. And guess who doesn't care whether we get an all-star game or not? Rob Manfred. He's got bigger fish to fry with whatever lawsuit is going to come out of the Oakland-Vegas situation, whatever they're doing down in Tampa, where I just had a 25-year executive who built this franchise here say to me on these airways, I don't know that baseball's going to work in Tampa.
Yeah. No, and I don't disagree with it there.
And now and he comes out this week and he's going to give us an all-star game, the commissioner, when we don't have a lease.
Right.
And I like I don't know. Oh, and they're gonna expand. That's the other thing. They're did you hear that?
I saw that. Yeah,
They're
heard
gonna
that.
expand. So now they're gonna get Portland and Vancouver and I guess Nashville. And you know that's gonna be John's flip. John's flip's gonna be, look, they don't like me in Baltimore. You don't like me in Baltimore. I know Tim McGraw. I know Garth. We'll put
They're
something
not going
together.
to move now. The Major League Baseball will not allow that. They'll put a different team in Nashville, believe me.
Well, hold on now. The NFL held out to not let Mark Davis go to LA, and he wound up going to Vegas, which is far better for him.
No, it is. Look, we'll
So, I
see what
mean,
happens.
these guys, it's a fascinating game, the pawn game of all this money and these billionaires. But you know who's getting used in this, Dennis? The
Who's that?
people that are going down and supporting the Orioles right now. Because, and as I've said this, and I'll say it really, really loud, if you don't go down there and we don't start getting some people there, that will be used against us.
I'm sure.
And that's so they're in the pennant race. They're a great team. They got great players. They're doing promotions of all kinds. If I'm not down there next Wednesday, watching the Dodgers play, then you know, shame on me. I'm a bad citizen. And I've talked to a lot of people about what I don't know what they're asking for in regard to the lease to say, is it a good idea or is it not? I just come forth. Be transparent. You're asking the people for a lot of money. You're asking for the future that we're going to be a part of. Make us a partner in it. Make
Hey, listen.
me and my family a partner in it.
Yeah, more often than not, the longer you hold out, the better the deal gets. So, no.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah,
when banks compete, you win.
you win. So the longer that contract stays blank and unsigned, the better it gets for the Orioles. The worse it gets for the city and the fans and everybody else
I thought
associated
about
with it,
it.
but
You know, I do think about this when I'm not on the air, so I have something to say. And I literally was laying in bed thinking about this and thinking, John Angelos doesn't have a care in the world. I mean, like, not a care in the. He has no
no,
motivation
he has good
to do the
problems.
right thing, to do anything at
He
all.
has good problems. Not all problems in life are bad. I tell that to people all the time. He has good problems. He's rich and about to get richer. That's a fact. No
Right,
matter what,
exactly.
somebody's going
And
to pay.
he doesn't need to sign the lease. What are they going to do? Kick him out?
Nope. He
What are they
can.
going to take the stadium elsewhere? I mean,
He can. He can.
there are no cards. Wes Moore has no cards in this, which
No.
worries me.
Yeah, I know. I know. Dealing with the wrong cat, that's for sure. Nestor, I appreciate you, your wisdom and your insight. We'll see how your crystal ball works 3 years from now. We're going to hold you
All
to
right. Well,
that.
follow me on social media. I'll share some old pictures of ticket stubs and All-Star Game galas and running into Geddy Lee. And I have such great memories of it. I mean, I really, really do. And I want it
Man.
back. And I want the greatness of all. I mean, that was a great time in my life. And
Absolutely.
yeah. And
Absolutely.
we all want that back. And I think when you see Rutschman versus Rutschman, and you see our
Yeah.
players, and you see that like we really have a pennant race here, and the Orioles are significant again, I want them to be as significant as possible. I really do.
Absolutely. There
Yeah.
he goes there. Nestor Aparicio with a little nostalgia this morning here on 1570 AM WNSD. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this. Whoops.